And now, Wolf Bites Open Mic.
The Bass Jackers.
I just came home, actually, from tour.
Hey, guys, this is Phoenix Paul.
Hey, what's up? This is Sean Frank.
Wolf Bites DJs and your favorite artists.
Sophie Francis. Sophie, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, super nice to join you guys.
What's up, guys? This is Armin Van Buuren.
Now, Open Mic.
Hey, what is up, guys? This is Midnight Mad Dog here on Wolf Bites Radio for Classic Dance Weekend special Open Mic podcast. I am joined by Jeanette and Ann from the one and the only Expo. We play Expose here for Classic Dance Weekend every single year, and we've got Expose every Friday on Flashback Friday here on Wolf Bites Radio. Some songs that you might have heard are Come Go With Me, Point of No Return, Let Me Be the One, Seasons Change. We have those on regular rotations on Flashback Fridays, but this is a big deal that we've got Expose featuring over 10 top 10 Billboard hits, seven back-to-back between the late 80s and early 90s. And Billboard in 2015 labeled them the eighth most successful girl band of all time, girl group of all time, a career lasting over 30 years. I'm the only one here, but let's give a round of applause for Expose.
Woo! That's always great to hear. What a wonderful introduction. Thank you.
So, a career lasting over 30 years. That definitely means that the three of you are tight and the three of you have been through a lot. I want to first start about when you guys are on stage for a concert that you are going to be doing next week, like we said a second ago. How much preparation is involved for these concerts and what are the emotions that are going through your heads while you're performing, while you're getting ready? Take me through a concert in 2025 for Expose.
Wow. I think we have been together, you said 30 years. Wow, it's actually more than 30 years. So we started in 1986. Oh. Wow, let's do that math. So we are, we're really professionals, you know, we're consummate professionals. And I think we, while we change up our show quite a bit, we have just a certain knowledge of, obviously, of the songs that we've performed for many years. And we are geographically challenged. That's what I always say about us, because we live in different locations across the country. But yeah, when we come together, we sort of just get right into lockstep, I would say. And, you know, I say to the audience sometimes, you think you're here to see us, but we're actually here to see you. You know, it's just, it's such a joy to be on stage. And I really have to admit, we hug ourselves every time thinking, oh, people still want to see us perform after 30 plus years. So it's great. It's great fun.
Yeah, it sounds like great fun. And earlier this morning, I was like binge watching as many live performances as I could find of you three from the 80s, from just a few months ago. And I was just so wildly impressed by how you get the crowd going, even like you'll get a whole bunch of like 45 year olds, 50 year olds get the crowd going, even currently, because you've got all these old hits that the crowd just is so excited to hear. What's your favorite song to perform?
Ooh, kind of changes around with me sometimes. I think when we're doing our shorter version of a show, it's probably Never Get Over You, Getting Over Me. For me, this is Jeanette speaking. And when we're doing the long version of the show, I think it's As Long As I Could Dream, which Anne sings lead on.
Ooh.
And it has these beautiful backgrounds. Which I love doing. How about you, Anne?
Yeah, we've been asked that question before. I guess I go back to a song that I really love because it's a slower or mid-tempo and it's kind of sultry, called Let Me Be the One.
Yeah. course everybody knows. And I mean, every show for the most part ends with our biggest dance song that's really a dance anthem called Point of No Return. And what I really love about performing that is, number one, Jeanette sounds great on that song, and it's just fun to do, but it's the reaction of the crowd, literally. I mean, I'm giggling thinking about it. People are up out of their, anybody who's seated for most of a show is no longer seated when that song starts. I think from the perspective of how exhilarated the audience is when we perform that song, I never tire of it. It's just so much fun.
Yeah. This morning I was watching your performance with it's Showtime at the Apollo back in the early 80s. You were on the very first season of It's Showtime at the Apollo. And I know that crowd is like naturally a bit hyped, but that was an anthemic reaction to, I believe the song was Point of No Return, that was your opening track, and like everyone is going
nuts.
That's,
I know,
true. Oh my gosh. And I remember finding out that we were going to be performing at the Apollo, and I was reading, I don't know if you remember, Anne, because I believe we were on a tour bus at that point, living out of the tour bus, and I was reading book by Smokey Robinson, and he was you know, writing about how terrifying it was to perform at the Apollo Theater.
Oh, no.
And you know, back in the day, I think they used to like throw things if they didn't like you or something. I was so nervous. I think I didn't eat for like 2 weeks. I was so nervous to be on that stage. And yeah, but wow, it's such a fun show and a great memory. I remember Annie S walking around and looking at all the pictures hanging and being inside, you know, where people walk in and that hallway, and just, you know, getting the feel of the Apollo Theater. I mean, the history is just amazing.
True, true. Yeah, and the audience was amazing. You're right, it's a very old theater. You think backstage would be really nice and pristine. Oh, no, not when we were there anyway. It's pretty. I mean, narrow steps leading to back rooms and, an experience.
Right, that's right. Mm-hmm. Wow. What a great memory.
Yeah. It's so interesting hearing, like, from my perspective, like I don't hear the back behind the scenes stuff. From each of you, what is your like number one memory from like a concert or a show or performance? Like something that like, I'm never going to forget this moment, or this was always going to be special to me. What is something that takes the cake there?
Anne, do you have one?
Well, a more recent memory, and I believe it was a show in Colorado that we did. And during the show, and I believe it was maybe it was Never Get Over You, people put up their phones, you know, as if they were lighters, you know, back in the day, hello, in the 70s and 80s, right? You actually had a lighter. And I just remember this vision of this big arena with people waving their phones, right, as if they were kind of just lighting up the audience. And I thought, this is my memory. This is surreal. I wanted to have my own camera to take a picture of just how beautiful that was and how in sync, you know, synchronicity we were with the audience and sort of that love back and forth. I mean, I love that.
That's a good one. Yeah. Good memory. Yeah.
Yeah, only a few people are ever going to see something like that.
Right, right. Well, and that's when I say we have the best seat in the house on stage.
We really do.
Yeah.
We do have the best seat in the house. So I agree with you, Anne.
Do you have a memory, Jeanette?
I think, Anne, we did once a show at the Kennedy Center. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And that was just completely amazing to me. Gosh, I mean, we were there with some amazing performers, of course, because it was, I think it was a That's What Friends Are For with Dionne yes. Warwick.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like the AIDS Foundation that, you know, everyone was raising money for. And I just remember being on stage and I turned to my, not during our performance, but I think during sound check or something, and turning to my left, and Ted Kennedy was sitting to the off stage. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah.
It was just so crazy. Yeah. Yes. Cool. It was so surreal. And I know, right? I mean, here, you know, just little old me from Pico Rivera, California, who never even dreamt of traveling ever. There I was at the Kennedy Center on stage with a Kennedy sitting right there. It was pretty cool. Awesome. Yeah.
That makes me want to, I want you to take me back. I want you to take everyone listening back to what was it like when you two were in your early 20s, finding Exposé for the first time. Latin freestyle was building a lot of hype at this time. Give me a bit of history about what were some of the early emotions in your time of the career and your early emotions about what Latin freestyle is.
I think back in the days when we first began, it was not called freestyle. I don't think that I hadn't heard that term. I think our music was referred to dance music at the time, which I was fine with. And I didn't hear freestyle or Latin freestyle till much later on.
Sure.
But yeah, I think our song Point of No Return most represents the Latin freestyle as, you know, it is described by, you know, numerous journalists in music. Sure. But I would say that our song Point of No Return probably resembles most what Latin freestyle is about. What do you think, Ann?
Yeah, and I think, well, I agree. During that time, you have to keep in mind that there was a mega group from Miami, a mega group. And that was Miami Sound Machine. And so we were starting out as they were really at their peak. And of course they stayed at that peak for a long time. We went to, I don't know if Jeanette, you remember, we go to a studio. Mary was her name. Wasn't she the studio owner?
Oh, the rehearsal studio.
Yes. Yeah. Rehearsal studio. And I remember, her band would go and rehearse there. I remember, Gloria, I just remember she'd roll up and she'd come in a Rolls Royce, you know, I'm like, oh, well. Okay, that's when you know you're part of Miami Sound Machine and shoot.
I do remember that. Yeah,
that was really the buzz in Miami while we lived there, while we were working, and we were sort of like, I would say, you know, the underlings, if you will, of that type, you know, that mega group with that Latin influence, and then it sort of morphed. Right, it did go from dance to dance pop because we really did go mainstream pop, particularly with some of our ballads. And then there was this thing called freestyle. And I guess we sort of fell into that genre as well.
That's Your song Seasons Change, in my perspective, is one of the first times you were like totally pop mainstream. And it was one of your many number one hits. Is there any one song that stands out to you? Like when I was in the studio, we finished this song. I knew it was going to be amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Or all of them.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's very strange, but strangely enough, I remember being in the studio and hearing Joya, and it was Joya sing the song December, which I believe is the last song on our first record. And I remember thinking that was just brilliant. I left thinking that is an amazing performance, an amazing song. And it wasn't ever released as a single, but I think when I go back and listen to that first album, I still love that song. For some reason, that day that she recorded that and I was sitting there listening, just left just this emotional little mark on my heart for some reason. That song to me, yeah, when we left, I thought that's a good performance. That's a special song. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't, this is why Clive Davis did so well, right? He could listen to songs in with a different ear and know, yeah, that's the song. I think because we were singers, performers, we were very close to those songs. So it was kind of hard to know which of those would stand out. I think Never Get Over You Getting Over Me was the sleeper. You know, it was the song that was unexpectedly just huge. And I remember hearing that. Somebody said that to me after that song was recorded. He's like, oh yeah, that's the sleeper, meaning you don't know how big that's going to be. It's coming. It's going to be huge. And
wow.
I don't know if we knew it at the time. Of course, Diane Warren wrote that song.
I was
song.
Just going to say, can we ever say sleeper if it was written by Diane Warren?
Yeah, I know. Sure. I know. True.
Wow. And once your careers took off, which they took off very quickly in the late 1987, 1988, shortly after that, a lot of other girl groups started forming shortly after, around that same time. You were kind of riding a whole new wave. What do you guys think about current the music in the current music industry? I don't see as many girl groups. I don't see as many guy groups either, I guess. How do you think times have changed since the 80s and 90s that lead to different bands being big and being recognized?
I just think of all the work they must have to put into social media, which we didn't have to do back in the day. You know, at that point, it was the record company, the big machine that was helping with all that marketing. We just, you know, we're touring around and doing our thing there. But it's just, as I'm learning to deal with it now, both Annie, Joy, and myself, there's so much more that goes into it of our time that didn't used to, you know what I mean? Like our time at home, like for instance, interviews always, but all the posts that you have to put up, hey, we're doing this show, all the marketing that's expected of you as an artist now, which back in the day you really didn't have to deal with. I don't know how they find time to even have lives. I think about everything they must do constantly. And I just hope that, they're out there and able to balance some sort of life for themselves, because I know how it is, or we all three know how it is, how busy it is when you are supporting a record or a song, the touring, the TV shows and all that. But with the social media on top of that, it would frighten me. I don't know if I'd be able to keep, well, at this age, probably not be able to keep up, but even in my 20s, you know, it's a lot. I mean, we barely had a life with the way that, you know, we had to do it. And I just think of social media on top of that. I don't know. What do you think, Ann?
Well, yeah, I mean, I will tell you, they're almost like we'd be speaking two different languages from our experience in the 80s, what the music industry was, to the experience today. I mean, they're vastly different. You know, I was sharing with Jeanette memories of walking around Arista, and there were cubicles everywhere, and there were people in offices, and they were, Jeanette mentioned machine. It was, the record companies were machines. We were kind of pawns, to be honest, in this plan for Exposé to perform at various venues, for record radio stations. And the avenue for revenue and income was buying records, CDs. We had mini cassettes. Don't forget mini cassettes. We might have had an A-track. And then obviously touring.
We don't go that far.
No, maybe not. So now it is powered, like Jeanette was saying, so much by individual artists themselves. They have many different
avenues to have their music played. We didn't have streaming services, right? It was all radio station. And if you didn't have the big bucks or have that big machine behind you, you're not going to get on that radio station. So I think it's exciting for younger artists that they can get music out there in avenues and have people listen to them when they may have not have had an avenue, you know, back in the 80s. And I think they can have the opportunity to take more ownership of how songs or music is promoted by their own hands. It's just vastly different. And by the way, those companies don't exist anymore. There are no cubicles with people sitting there and behind the machine. We know of a lot of people that, you know, when record companies started to go away, honestly, because they were not needed. So people had to scramble and figure out what they were going to do with their lives when they didn't have those jobs. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm hearing is social media brings new opportunities, but it also brings so many challenges. And it's really a major disruptor in the music industry. So here's the question. Can you guys see yourself writing, singing, recording, producing new songs? And I also partially asked this because I found out, so last year on Classic Dance Weekend, we had Taylor Dane on the podcast. She had her song, Tell It to My Heart, released the same year that your opening hit, Point of No Return, was released. But recently she had a remix of that song, super big on the charts. Can you guys see yourself recutting any of your tracks? Do you have any interest in that?
I could see us doing it if we could, you know, agree to get together in one town and one place.
That's a bit tricky though.
It's a bit tricky with three. I could see us doing it. I don't know how much interest there is on that.
Sure.
You know, on the recording side, I always love spending time with Joy and Ann. I don't know, getting that whole thing together and who's going to be the producer and who's going to do the mixer and who's going to, honestly, you have three very strong headed, different ideas, different creatively that came together with this group that miraculously have been friends through this whole thing, and all the crazy things that we've gone through and all the growing up that we've done and all the singles and this and that and traveling. And we truly, truly are very good friends. Creatively, I think sometimes we just kind of string out to different, excuse me, that's my computer. We string out differently. And I think creatively, going back to that would be kind of weird for me. I think going back to it would be kind of weird. Yeah.
I mean, you're at a different time in your career. I'm so surprised and so glad that you guys continue to perform and perform and perform and perform. What do you see yourself? What do you, the two of you, and maybe if Joya was here, the three of you, where do you want to see your career, your expose in the next 10 years?
Okay, hold on there. Hold on there, sir. I mean, I'd like to be alive in the next 10 years.
Come on now.
I don't know. You know, I always think to myself, well, when I see some of these bands perform, I go, well, maybe they should hang it up. I don't want to be one of those bands. We're just having the time of our lives. And I think, you know, Jeanette and I talk about this, like, are we still doing this? Are we going to do it next year? Oh, look at that. We booked shows next year. I guess we're doing it again.
As long as they keep booking you.
Compels us.
Right. I know.
And propels us forward. I think, you know, we take it kind of show by show or year by year, as the case may be. Going back to the question about recording, we're coming up on our 40th anniversary of Point of No Return and the release of that song. So Jeanette, we need to huddle and see if we can do a remix of that. I think that would be a great idea. And I think we can all agree on that, truthfully.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, ba-dum, ba-dum,
yeah. We're gonna make it. 2027. Yeah.
We're going to do that? We're going to do that, huh?
Why not? Let's do it.
Why not? Okay.
I'm down for it. And if you do it, we will be the first ones to play it here on Wolf Bites Radio.
Oh, thank you. That's very awesome. Sweet. We're going to hold you to that, you know.
we're here for it. You can send it to us directly if it makes the process quicker.
I love that.
Well, how about I close out with this beautiful question, because you've both already hit at this. What is so special about the three of your relationship that you're coming close to your 40th anniversary and you still want to keep it going strong? What do you guys love most about each other?
I love Joy's energy, and she has this wonderful heart that she's just always wants to be so giving, just everybody. She just wants to help everybody and be the person that's there to offer help. Anne is my, what do you call it? The person who rides in the car next to you. And the, what is that? What is the term, Anne?
Passenger. I don't know what it is.
Shotgun.
Oh, shotgun. Navigator. Not navigator, but Anne's shotgun for me. She's, Annie and I just, our energy levels are something about the way that we communicate with each other, about our families, about we're so easygoing traveling. We're just such a good fit, Anne and I. And it probably just developed somewhere along the way. But, you know, from the very first time that I saw this woman, I just knew that we were going to be friends. Knew it. So happy that my first feeling about her was correct. Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeanette's my soulmate. That's what I say. She's my soulmate. She's like my sister. I mean, there's a closeness that I cannot even explain. And with Joya as well. But what you have to understand is we have been together for so long, and we have these unique experiences that only we know, only we share. And so sometimes we look at each other and we don't say a word, and there's this sense of knowing, this knowing that, you know, that we have these shared experiences, good and bad, definitely bad, by the way. There is bad, but there is. I mean, I always call, you know, expose, it's a bittersweet story. And that's a book someday, probably. But there's a richness in our relationship and based on our experiences. So it's, I couldn't have asked to have had two more beautiful, talented, amazing women by my side.
True. And I think I could sum it up, you know, that whole question by saying, when we are out there and performing, and sometimes we're sharing the stage with other performers, and many of the performers are solo performers, and we always look at each other and say, aren't you glad that we're not up there alone? That we always have each other to turn around, and you're always there on the right or the left or whatever. That is the best feeling, knowing that we're not going up there alone. I just can't even imagine it at this point. And that's, sums it up for us. We're very happy to be there and have each other to lean on and support and share this amazing experience that it has been for many years.
Wow.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. And that sums up this podcast. Thank you guys for listening. This has been a great time with Expose, Jeanette and Anne. And I will see you guys on our next Open Mic podcast.